the one message we get out of the introduction that Bob gave is that I'm getting old. All this stuff happened a long time ago, right? And it started out that time ago, and it is true. I've been serving with the IFCA Fellowship of Churches for many years now, I've served as chairman of a lot of committees, and then I served on their board of directors for 9 years, and then I served 4 years as the president of their board, and then three and a half years ago, I was elected to an office, as they called it, the chairman or the president of the Council of Regional Presidents. That means that we have about 20-something regionals around the country, and each one of them have a president, but my job is to oversee and help all the regionals, which is too much for anybody to do, almost. And I have, my term runs out this summer. And I talked with the committee that I'm working with on that, and we have put together a staff of nominations for the summer. And I'm not on the nomination list for to be the chairman of that anymore, because I said I'll be. Before that election comes place, I'll be 76 years old, and if I serve another 4-year term, I'd be 80. And I said, I don't want to be in that charge of something that big when I'm 80. So I did Crane, see, when he quoted that verse, which was my life verse, things you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I've practiced that. One of the applications of that is replace yourself as quickly as you can, so you can do other things. And that's what God has really been helping me with. And so when I took this position for them, I appointed a 6-man committee to assist me. And they've been assisting me right well. I've never made a decision by myself in this organization. The committee makes the decision, and then I help carry it out, or let them carry it out. And but they didn't know that I had another purpose for that committee. There were 3 men on that committee I appointed, for the idea that by the time 4 years is up, one of them would be ready to be the new chairman of that committee. And so that's what we've done. And the second one has taken the other position of secretary. And that's what we'll be. By Biblical Ministries Worldwide, or BMW Mission Agency, currently there are about 7 or 8 or 9 men that are in the top administration. Every one of them almost all of them worked under me at one time in the past, but now they are the leaders. I'm working under them. And that's the exciting thing about the Lord's work. We have a statement that God spells success by the word successors, and yet you replace yourself. I have another verse that I added to my life verses a couple of years ago, and it's basically this: whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And we need that. I need to be reminding of that as I get older, that there's still a lot of things. And I like the word in there, find. Whatever your hand finds to do, it means you need to be looking all the time for things to do for God. And I would say that if you're not doing that, you're really missing the Christian life. We as Christians should be looking for things to do for God. A lot of times we look for things to do, but it's not necessarily for God. And I think that focus on that. I like what he said about the whole concept of our philosophy. How many of you like philosophy? Yeah, some people do. Bob's not philosophical. How do I know that? Huh? He loves math, right? The opposite of a mathematical man is a philosophical man. And I knew he wasn't a philosophical man then. And I'm not. I had thought if the Lord didn't want me in full-time ministry, I would go into teaching mathematics in college. But that wasn't what the Lord wanted, so I didn't do that. But I like mathematics, too. But philosophy is, as we probably the problem with philosophy sometimes is that we've made it something that it shouldn't be. And I actually like philosophy when you see it right. And I'd like to read a verse as the basis of what I want to talk about, because I want to talk about philosophy this morning. And the verse I want to talk about is in Philippians chapter 2. And this is the right verse. Those in Sunday school know I looked in the wrong book to start with. But in Philippians chapter 2, there's a lot there. And I want to read, starting at the first verse. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you notice the word, the idea that's repeated in there at least three times? The word mind. Notice, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. And then, but in lowliness of mind, and then in let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. The word mind there has to do with the concept of how you think, which is basically what is really meant by your philosophy. How you think is your philosophy, and that means that we develop in ourselves and through certain people around us and through everything a certain philosophy of thinking. And that philosophy of thinking then determines everything about our life. Because the way you think determines what you're going to do. And our problem is sometimes we don't train our thinking enough. We don't solidify our philosophy. And I want us to think about that. But the way to think about that is to look a little bit at some of the places where Jesus tells us about his philosophy, how he thinks about things. And I'd like to look at a few of those and just try to make sure we can understand what he means by how he thinks. The first one I want you to turn to is in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10. I thought I put a piece of paper in the page where that was, but I looked and it's not one. But I've got it here anyhow. Mark chapter 10, and I want you to look at verse 45. Let's read a few verses before that, beginning in verse 42, because it taught when Jesus starts talking. But Jesus called them to him and saith to them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. That's where we come up with the concept that we call servant leadership. And that's the statement there. And whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. Verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, when we look at that verse, the thing that stands out as the most important to us is that he gave his life a ransom for many. That is only a description of the result of what the first part of the verse says. His philosophy, his thinking was he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came not to have his own needs met. He came not to be ministered unto for people doing things for him. He came to minister. He was coming for the benefit of others. We have a tendency to like benefits to us, right? We have a tendency to like people that do things for us, right? Or given the opportunity to do things we like to do. And you know, there's nothing wrong with being ministered unto. But that should not be your purpose. Your purpose is not to be ministered unto. Your purpose is, how can I be a minister or be ministering to other people? You see, that's the focus of me. And that is one of the times where Jesus describes his philosophy. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. I don't know how much we can just be honest with ourselves, but sometimes it's a lot more fun to be ministered unto, isn't it? It's a lot more fun to just help people do things for us. But you have to realize, do you realize how, when Jesus left heaven and voluntarily came to earth, that would be something, right? But then what he did is he became fully man. Just notice the contrast between truly God and man. And for God to take on man, he was fully God, but he was also fully man. But that purpose was his philosophy to minister, not to be ministered unto. And the only way he could do it is to come into this world as a man and die for us. And that's the result of that philosophy. But somehow if we're going to effectively accomplish things for God, we have to change our philosophy. What happens to most of us when somebody doesn't minister to us? How do we normally react? We don't like or appreciate them very much, do we? You know, sometimes we think that, you know, it should be the most important thing for my wife is to make me a cup of coffee first thing in the morning, right? That ministers to my needs, right? But that's not what he says here, right? Now, we solved that. Our kids gave us a Keurig coffee maker. And it's all I have to do is put the little bucket in there and click it on and it's made. My wife doesn't have to worry about my coffee in the morning, right? Or at night, or any time. And so the Keurig ministers unto me, right? But that's what it's created for. And it's created to minister, right? But I'm not a machine, and I have to work through that, don't I? But you know, you can program everything out so you do everything right, but if you haven't got your philosophy right, it's still not going to work right. And that's an expression where Jesus kind of did his philosophy. Well, he goes a little fuller into that in John chapter 8. And if you would turn in John chapter 8 to me, with me. In John chapter 8, verse 28, then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. It's two statements there that really go together, describing Jesus' philosophy. Do you know what the major philosophy of the world is today? The world in which we live, the way people think, what's the basic philosophy that people think by? Yeah. In other words, he said in the second part there, the Father has left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. The basic philosophy of the world says, I don't do anything because I want to please others. I do everything to please who? Myself, see. The first part of it, he said, I do nothing of myself, but I do always those things that please but as the Father taught me, I speak these things, I do nothing of myself. Basically, he's that saying, when I do nothing of myself, means I do nothing because I want to do it. But I do everything because the Father said do it. And our world philosophy says, I don't do anything because somebody else wants me to do it. I do everything because I want to do it. Now, is it possible to live by the world's philosophy and God's philosophy at the same time? Then why do we try? Isn't that right? We wrestle with those, and we like to do what? Both of them, right? But you can't. And it's so simple to just try to look and see, wait a minute, the whole philosophy is, you're not first. God's first. I don't necessarily want to do everything simply because people in the world want me to do it. My goal is, I want to know what God wants me to do. That's the philosophy. I don't do anything because I want to do it. Now, that's not the major decision. The major decision is, what does he want me to do? And I think that those verses there, at verse 28 and 29, is probably the clearest place in the Bible where Jesus discusses his own philosophy. And just think through it again. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. Basically, that of myself simply means I do nothing because it's what I want to do. Now, basically, he did everything he wanted to do, right? But not because he wanted it. Because he wanted it, why did he want to do it? Because the Father wanted me to do it. His reason for doing it was he wanted to do what the Father wanted him to do. And so it wasn't because he wanted to do it. He didn't come up with the own idea. It was following the Father's will. And so it wasn't to please himself, but to please the Father. And I think this verse here, these two verses here, and the verse in Mark 10:45 are the two places where Jesus actually presents and discusses his philosophy. Now, why should we really be concerned about what Jesus' philosophy was? Well, part of the reason, he came to die for us, right? But he not only, I had my brother, who was 2 years older than me, and was probably one of the greatest Bible teachers and theological teachers I know. Dr. John Whitcomb told me that he thought my brother was the top theologian in America. But he died when he was 55. And especially the last few years of his life, he spent all of his time mentoring and discipling people. And one of them told me the day of his funeral, he said, "He taught us how to live, and now he's taught us how to die." Well, Jesus not only died for us, but he taught us how to live. And he taught us that living the right way starts with thinking the right way. And therefore it starts with thinking the right way, which is having the right philosophy of thinking, so that when something comes up of what to do, it's determined by our already built-in philosophy of and how we think. Do we make wrong decisions sometimes? Yeah. But most of the time, we do it because we haven't strengthened our own commitment to that kind of philosophy. And the philosophy of Jesus Christ is pretty simple, but it's pretty hard. Because it's necessary to do thinking opposite of way the whole human being is, because we as human beings have a tendency to have already adopted and live by the philosophy of the world. And did you know that most of the time that nobody takes a class on the philosophy of the world? How do we get the philosophy of the world into our minds and get ourselves committed to it then? We're in the world, right? It's hard to say this at them, but we are in the world, but we shouldn't be of the world. That's what the Bible says very clearly. And that really simply means that we are in the world, but we shouldn't let the world force us in to the way we think and thinking the way the world thinks. But how is that going to be, that thinking, if we think the way God would have us to think? And has he ever said anywhere to be like Christ? And he says to have this mind, the same, think the same way, the same philosophy that Christ did. That's what he wants us to do, right? And did you know that it's hundreds of times easier to learn and develop living by the world's philosophy than it is by Christ's philosophy? And it's interesting. I was thinking the other day, something reminded me that Jonah, why did Jonah not want to go to Nineveh?
Why God punished the Ninevites.
Right. And he wouldn't mind telling them that God was going to do it if God would do it. But he said he knew that God would forgive him, right? So he didn't go because he knew what God was going to do. And why? How did he know that? He knew God, right? And our problem is that we need to make sure we know God so that we know this philosophy And that is demonstrated where? It's demonstrated throughout the Word of God, right? And it's interesting, it's stated clearly in the Mark 10:45 and this John 8:28-29. It's so clear of the description of Christ's philosophy. And it's in two quotes by Jesus Christ himself. And it's just, as I read it, every time I read it, I just get amazed at two things. One, how clear Jesus is on what his philosophy is, how he thinks about things. And then the second thing is, it's so clear how different it is from the way the world thinks. And the third thing is, how much trouble I have of trying to get out of thinking the way the world thinks and get into thinking the way Jesus thinks. You know, I have to admit, I like when people do things for me. I like when people, you know, make coffee more for me. Well, I don't have to have it now, but hey, I like it in the morning, you see. But it's so hard not to just go ahead and live to please me. You know, I think that that the philosophy of the world gets mixed up into our thinking as Christians, and it's interesting how much of Christian teaching is teaching us how to be happy and. It's very clear that the goal shouldn't be how can I be happy. The goal is how can I be right. And I tell you, I know if I do what's right and I stick to the right, that will eventually probably make me happier than anything else, but it might not right then. But it's a whole lot better to be right than be happy. Because it's so easy to get and enjoy and being happy for the wrong reasons. and that won't do it. And I don't think that you can read it, but I would say you ought to read these verses fairly often to remind us how to think. You see, a while ago, and I asked you how many of you really like philosophy, not very many, but if I ask you this, how many of you have a philosophy? You all do. How many of you have a philosophy to live like Jesus Christ? And I'd say none of us. But we ought to be working toward that all the time, because the goal is to become more like him. Now, some of us look at the verse that said that when he takes us to heaven, either through death or through, but we'll see him and we will be like him. I said, wait, I don't have to worry about it. I'm going to be like him. Wait a minute, you're missing the point. He doesn't say, wait till you get to heaven to be like him. He said, start getting as close as you can now. I know you'll never make it until you get there. Is that right? And some of us can say, well, what difference does it make if I get this far, this far, this far? I'm not going to get there. So why worry about it? Because you're saved not just to go to heaven, but to live here and to serve him here, which means we need to be thinking as he thinks. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came not to minister, but to minister. And he said, I do nothing of myself. I don't do anything simply because I want to do it. It's because I want to do things because he wants me to do it. And I don't do it to please me. I do it to please Him. I like to be pleased. And I have to face it that it's so easy to make every decision based on how to please me, right? When your wife fixes a meal for you, is it what you like? Did you know that sometimes my wife may have a desire, an idea to fix a meal that wouldn't be what I would want? So I tell her, why don't you just quit cooking? And say, no. And she says, all right, that would please me. But it's so easy for us to wrestle with the philosophy of the world. And I'll tell you, it's a lot, not a good word, it's a lot funner in our mind. And it'll make us happier a lot of times. But the end result will be very different. And so I think what this does today that I'm trying to get across to you is how clear the distinction between the philosophy of Jesus and the philosophy of the world is. And the easiest way to be impressed with the philosophy of the world and the difference between philosophy of Christ is to read through them and see through them and then watch people. Does it really bother you sometimes that people in the world act the way they do? If a person does not know God, how should we expect them to act? You ever think about that? They should and probably will act ungodly because they don't know Him. But we know Him, right? And if you haven't noticed clearly how clear it is, read this verse, these verses again. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to what? Minister. Now that's looking around with people, right? And it's, what is our attitude toward people? Are we here to gripe about them and what they do and what they don't do? Are we here to minister? He says, you'll know that I do nothing of myself. How much do our desires determine what we do? Now, don't get me wrong, you can do everything you desire, right? Christ did what? Everything he desired, but he didn't do it because he desired it, because he changed his want to. You understand? It's not, I want to do what I want to do, but it was, I want to do what the Father wants me to do. And I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what He wants me to do. And that's the simple way to look at it. But the philosophy of the world is totally different. I don't want to do anything, is what they say. I want to do nothing because somebody else wants me to. I want to do everything. Why? Because I want to do it. because I like it, I want it, I do it, and that's what I want. Now, none of you do that, right? Yeah, well, once in a while you may not do it, but most of the time, it's like I've talked to somebody and said, do you know that the Bible says that what you are doing, that God doesn't want you to do that? And, you know, people will say this, I don't really care what the Bible says. I want to do it. Right? So, that's the simple thing, the philosophy of Jesus. And again, I want to repeat them. Mark 10:45 says what? Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And verse 28, you know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. That's the right philosophy. And it should be our philosophy. But it won't come automatic. It takes work. Shall we pray? Father, thank you again for your word. And guide us throughout our lives to be what you want us to be and to think the way you want us to think. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.